Good afternoon. Welcome to Cold Spring Presbyterian Church. This was Jane's spiritual home and that of her family, and we're just delighted to greet you this morning. This congregation of faith has served this community for more than three centuries, and Jane's remains will be buried in this place of sacred honor, and we'll add Jane's stories to the thousands of others that are told and retold as families come and visit and recollect God's goodness and blessings. We are here to celebrate a life of Jane Peacock, born February 23rd, 1931, and passed on March 26th, 2019. Jesus said, "Come, follow me, be faithful, and I will give you the crown of life. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." About 300 years ago, and maybe more recently than that, a yoke was a very common piece of farm equipment found around here, around wherever you live too, there too. And the yoke was a piece of wood, one piece that was handcrafted on each side so that an oxen on this side, shoulder length, width, all that was perfectly hewn out of that side of that yoke, that wooden bar. And over on this side, a different animal. It was custom fit, custom designed, so that when the farmer put that yoke on the back of those two oxen or those two horses, that the horses bore no extra burden on their own. That yoke was easy. It was perfectly fit. Jesus says he has that kind of a yoke for you, Jane and Dan, other members of the family today. That we don't need to wonder if Jesus knows how we're feeling, what we're feeling, our fears and our doubts, our joys, and things that just spur us on to live our life as Jane lived hers, because Jesus knows what we need. And so I hope in these few minutes together that we will find that rest and that perfect yoke. You claim that today. Jesus stands here offering that to you. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. We'll be blessed today with some scripture readings, some beautiful music, and some singing together. We will begin with music that Doug will bring, the prayer. Doug, I invite you to come forward and offer your gift now.
Watch us where we go, and help us to be wise at times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer as we go our way. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we'll be safe. I pray we'll find your light and hold it in our hearts. When stars go out each night, remind us where you are. Let this be our prayer when shadows fill our day. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we'll be safe. A world where pain and sorrow will be ended, and every heart that's broken will be mended, and we'll remember we are reaching out to touch you, reaching to the sky. We ask that life be kind. We hope each soul will find another soul to love. Let this be our prayer, just like every child needs to find a place. Guide us with your grace, give us faith so we'll be safe. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, give us faith so we'll be safe.
I was the minister here a few years ago as an interim, and it was at that time that I met Jane. And Jane and I had a sort of an accommodating kind of way of living, because she was an artist, and I rather fancied myself as a kind of artist. Certainly not the kind that she was, but in another vein. And so we were able to enjoy one another's works of art, and not only that, but one another's company over many occasions. She would call or would say, Jane, do you have an evening free, or something like that? And she took us to restaurants that we didn't even know were existed in the territory. So this was how we got to know Jane. So I'm very happy to have been asked by the family to participate in this service today. The scripture lessons, there are two, from one from Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verses 1 through 4. Ecclesiastes is kind of an odd book, and there are those who think it probably never should have gotten in the Bible anyhow. But I don't happen to be one of those, but it's about life's experiences, and so it's a wonderful this particular reading. For everything there is a season, and for every time, for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to plant what to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. From the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter, starting with the 28th verse. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May the Lord bless this reading and our hearing from his holy word. I'd like to read a hymn. Because as I have said, in our getting together with Jane, we really became friends. Not that you can't be friends in the church with all members, but there are others with whom you become closer friends. So this hymn. Go, silent friend. Your life has found its ending. To dust returns your weary frame. God, who before birth called you into being, now calls you hence, his accent still the same. Go, silent friend, your life in Christ is buried. For you he lived and died and rose again. Close by his side your promised place is waiting, where, fully known, you shall with Christ remain. Go, silent friend. Forgive us if we grieve you. Safe now in heaven, kindly say our names. Your life has touched us, and that is why we mourn you. Our lives without you cannot be the same. Go, silent friend. We do not grudge you glory. Sing with joy deep praises to your Lord. So we who believe that Christ would come back for you, now celebrate that Jesus keeps his word. Amen.
Thank you, Doug, for that beautiful song, and Bob for those words of scripture and hymn. Let's sing our own song. I invite you to turn in the hymnal, the blue hymnal, number 280, Amazing Grace. And those who are able may stand.
be seated.
On almost all the headstones out in our cemetery, there's usually at least two facts on them. There's the name, and there are some numbers for dates. Some of the dates on the tombstones, especially the ones closest to our red brick church, actually have how many years, months, and days the person lived. I think that's pretty cool. I don't know why not seconds. They could have gone on, I think. Maybe they ran out of chiseled room there on the tombstone. But I think it reminds us that what we celebrate today is Jane's life between her birth date and the date of her passing. That they're just not isolated events. You are here to fill in the gaps. You have known her in ways unique to you. You've had experiences with her that might be very special to you, maybe not known by others, or maybe a very common experience with Jane touched you in a way that might be very different from someone else who also shared that same experience. So let's make some time right now for remembrances. Let the eulogy of Jane be the words that some of you might be moved to share. And if you'd like, you can come up to the microphone, but we are recording the service for the family. So if you'd like to have it preserved, it'd be best. And Doug, I think, has the wireless mic. Also, he could pass that around maybe. But who would like to share a remembrance? What has Jane meant to you?
Well, I don't know if all of you know, but Jane was a twin sister, or mother. And the dates on the tombstone do indicate that she was born a twin. And my sisters and I loved Aunt Jane because our mother passed very suddenly, 27, 8 years ago. And she and Jane were inseparable. They lived distances apart, and they sent each other the same birthday cards. They were both artistic, creative, and we as kids growing up spent many of our vacation times with each other, both in Pittsburgh, where our grandparents live. Jane's dad was from there. My dad and he went to school together, so our families are connected in many ways. And then my twin sister sits right here, so our mother was twin with Aunt Jane, and so you see more Katie's twins over there, but there's something about the love of a twin. And all I can say is, I never talked to Jane about Mom, but I'm guessing she missed her terribly. We, through the years, were shocked with our mother's passing, and so the conversations we had with Jane in the 28 years since have been like an extra gift. They were so much alike. But I have to believe that in heaven, they are rejoicing with their Creator God, with Jesus, but they're also rejoicing with each other. Those twins are back together, and so we're celebrating that. And we love you all. We love what the neighbors have done for Jane and helping her the times when she fell and how you have loved her. And that's what, yes, my relationship with my twin, I saw our mothers love each other. And that's what the church does in the world. We love each other. And so thank you for loving Jane. Because we all are in this life together. So we greet you from Ohio, where I live. My sister twin lives in Montana. My other sister lives in Colorado and California, so we're pretty spread out. But we love coming back together. Honoring Jane on this day is really important to us, and we're missing our mom.
Thank you for sharing. Someone else?
Hear me?
Thank you.
Carl and Bob.
Those are our neighbors, and they were her life support.
Right.
I can't thank you enough. Pearl's unfortunately not here, and she actually had her having a stroke. So she called the ambulance, and but she
loved her church.
She just had to come down every other weekend to take her to church, or there was every problem.
He would be mad. She's not here today. They would want to be here. I just want to say, one of the saddest days, I had to call her and tell her that her response, you're getting married, because it was 2 weeks prior to my wedding, so she had scheduled surgery to come to my wedding and go see her daughter, Olivia, for a while, and she came out, you're getting married, so we did. There was a young man in her life named Donald, and the twins must have lived her life till they were about 13, World War II. That is why the Wounded Warrior Project. She didn't help Donald, but she did help those that survived. Grayson, brother's son, was injured in Iraq, and I had to call her and tell her that. My prayers are answered. Mommy got hurt, and but after Grayson's pretty fine now, but. So her faith was very quiet and into herself, but she prayed a lot, and she kept those moments very private. And, she brought me closer to faith. Bob and Mary, and all you guys from the church, so I know she was a lot more active, and she wished
two and a half, yes.
Jane, thank you for playing today. The beautiful, so far, so beautiful.
Thank you, Jane. Someone else.
I don't think you need that to hear me.
Yeah, but we're recording, so.
I'm Gary. I'm Jane's oldest son. Some of you may know me. Some of you may not. Actually been coming to Cold Spring here off and on for the last 25 years, less in the more recent years. But Mom was a beautiful soul. And my cousin said, twins are something special. I remember Mom from the time I was about the age of my granddaughters at home. Host play school for the kids in the neighborhood, and we would make macaroni pictures and things like that. She was always involved in church and community and other things. Busy is how I would describe her life, entire life, until very recently. Twins always made sure our families got together occasionally, no matter where we were. We always lived in New Jersey, but they were all over the place. Couldn't get together at our places. We'd go to Pittsburgh to Grandma's house and spend a week or so there. Those were special times and memories for myself and for them. Mom and I had an interesting relationship, and she decided to go back to college about the time I went to high school, and that was in the turbulent 60s. So she was exposed to a lot of things that her age. Time. I was too. We grew up in the shadow of Rutgers and Princeton, so college towns have their own unique characteristics and a lot going on around. We talked a lot during those times, and she loved my dad unconditionally her entire life. I always admired. Didn't quite succeed, but keep trying. But when they finally settled down here, that was special too. My kids, Kate, my son who couldn't be here, were small, and we'd come down half a dozen or so times a year, do things with them. We were always busy. We weren't sitting around. Those are the memories that I have. Passing. All came. something that we will all remember. Mom was a beautiful soul and a loving person.
Thank you.
So it took me a while to figure out what I wanted to say, and I just wanted to talk about some observations I had over the years with my grandma. First thing is always smile. I don't think I ever seen her frown whatsoever. Always laughing and going on about something, even if it was something very minuscule. To not see her laugh or smile was from my experience. Another thing was always creating, caring for something, whether it was for other people. Very generous, I'm sure all of you have at some point. Or caring for her orchids or her kids. Always spoiling me, my brother, definitely. And always wearing something colorful or with patterns. Like she always wanted something colorful and bright in her life, which probably went with her character. Not only that, always had ice cream. Never been to the house without ice cream or chocolate milk. Could guarantee you those every time I went down here. But other than that, I think those are things I like to express, and we all aim to express those things in our lives. It's a bit of a dark place in some regards, but overall, just trying.
Thank you. Someone else. Let's keep the remembrances going. Anyone else have something to share?
Hi, I'm Linda. I'm one of the daughters, Jean's daughters. Jean and Jane, a lot of this has already been said. I mean, I feel like I remember them both as unconditionally loving people, generous. I say fault because I don't think there is a fault to generosity, really. But generous and kind and energetic, and I see that in my passed on, and just a concern for the world and people around. Just such love, and just that unconditional love, that is such a so true, and my mom, and our family, that is so important to the world, that unconditional love. I just want to tell a funny story, I guess. Mom and Jean, Jane and Jane so alike. I mean, they were very like twins. Their voices were the same. I know the first time I brought Doug to meet Aunt Jane, he was in another room. He heard my mom and Jane talking, and he thought it was somebody talking to themselves, answering themselves. He said it was very bizarre. And when I was about, I don't know how old I was, maybe 5 or something, I just remember going up to my mom and pouring my heart out about something, and I don't remember what it was. And all of a sudden, Aunt Jane bent down and said, "I'm not your mom." And I just almost passed out. I just remember being so freaked out. It was just like my world ended right there. It's like, if I don't know who my mother is, there's just this, the world is wrong. So, they were just so much alike and so many wonderful.
Someone else. Thank you.
So I have some, I'm Pam. I'm one of the identical twins. We didn't get to see our Aunt Jane as often as we would have liked. Our dad was military, so we would be in Iowa, not Connecticut, not be able to get together. Well, Connecticut was easier, but so there would be intervals where we didn't get to see them. But then when we got to see, Gary had grown up, and Janie had grown up, and Mark a little bit too. And anyway, I just remember being at your mom's house, Gary, and her back was to me, and I was talking to her, and it's a similar experience to Linda. I really thought I was talking to my mom, but when she turned around, I knew immediately that it was not my mom, because you had to see the face in order to tell them apart, was the way I felt about it. They were that alike. So ditto to everything that's been said, just the generosity and really the quiet love. I love to tell faith stories, and I don't have any from Jane, but I wish we would share our faith stories more. I think it's an important part.
Thank you. Someone else.
Say a couple words. First time I met Jane Gary, and the first thing that was stunned me was beautiful artwork around the whole house. Coffee tables made out of tiles. It was shocking to me because it's just like an art gallery. More than just some vases and vases and things around the place. And I was always stunned by that. One of the funny stories. The living room, and I remember sitting in a chair, and Jane comes in, and she says, hello, I'm Gary and her having a conversation about getting something, doing something, and she walks back around out, and I hear voices. She comes back in again, and all of a sudden, the conversation changes. Gary gets up, and he's very conservative, he'll get this and this, and she leaves, and she comes back in again, and the conversation changes again, and I'm just odd. Finally, both walking together. Oh my God, there's two of them. And with that, the whole place breaks up, laughing like crazy. I had no idea. I didn't know. And that's how we sort of met. But one of the things that with Jane, the way she looked at life was just different. She chose to see life in a new light, kind of moment, in such a fresh way. I mean, everywhere she was, and like any time family got together, she was right there to help somebody else, you know, to do something special for somebody else, cooking something, or what have you. You know, had to have this to do that, brought it away, and that was one of the things she's always done. But funny, she chose to live life that way. There was something about it. Because I remember having a conversation with her where something was going on, some kind of political thing. I don't know. And I said something. She sort of snapped out of that and she made a comment. And to me, it was like she knew exactly what was going on around her. But she wouldn't dwell in some kind of downcast. And I guess another thing is, with all the beauty she had in her artwork, her pottery, everything she did was so much, she also had that same kind of joy with food and stuff. Food was an invention for her. She'd go to all these restaurants, take us to places I've never been, and we'd enjoy that. And everything was new. I gotta try it. Everything was new. She had that kind of life in her. And that was very, very beautiful.
Thank you, Dan.
Somebody's already mentioned the generosity, but my Aunt Jane, when each of us girls, when we got married, always made a set of pottery. And so that was a special gift at a wedding. And even to this day, my favorite cup of coffee is one of her little cups that I put my coffee in because I like my coffee hot. But I always think of Aunt Jane and her generosity. And that potter's wheel was something really significant. And I don't profess to understand all of that, but something about being creative around the wheel and taking that clay, kind of like God molds us. You know, it was such a significant part of, I remember when we'd come to visit, she encouraged us to get on the potter's wheel and try. And occasionally she showed us, but she knew what she was doing on that potter's wheel. And that was a special part of her art that I've always, always appreciated. So God molds us in much the same way.
Somewhere in the back here, Doug.
Hey, my name is Ben. My story is just going to be real simple. We were in Montana, and it was, I don't know if she had a surgery or something, but really wanted to go. And I decided I was going to volunteer and take Aunt Jane for a car ride. Is it Road to the Sun? Yeah, in Glacier National Park. So her and I spent many hours that day on a very nice car ride, seeing wildlife, goats, driving under the fall. And that day forward, friends. I would always ask to be in the same car with Jane. That was just my story.
I always thought Aunt Jane as the groovy aunt. She always had the better clothes in my mind because she did. She always had color, and you know, our mom was more traditional. These flowers that are in the photograph, we ordered that for her 80th birthday, and my request to the florist was an artist palette because I said many colors, as many beautiful flowers as you can fit in that bouquet is what we want, and that's Jane really loved that flower bouquet, so that was a very special gift. Twins, I'm back to the twins. And I never heard this story until my mother passed. Our mother passed at the age of 60, so Aunt Jane outlived our mom by 28 years. So my dad told me the story of the day that Glenn, Jane's husband, so we're going back in time. So George and Glenn were best friends. They were physics geeks at the University of Pittsburgh. And one day, Glenn could not pick up his date, who was Jane. So he called my dad. He said, George, I need you to go pick up Jane and her twin sister, Jean, and bring them to the football game. So my dad said, okay. So my dad went and picked up his date, who was Stephanie. I'm pretty sure that was her name. He picked up his date. He went over to Jean and Jane's house, picked them up. My dad looked at Jean, and the whole football game, he could not take his eyes off of Jean. So my dad, you know, Glenn took the girls home. My dad took Stephanie home, broke up with her that evening, and then called Jean the next day. And I think they were married about 4 months later. So that's how the twins, you know, George and Jean and Glenn and Jane got together. And so this carries on. Again, we have this tradition of twins through our family. Right now, my son is in a relationship, and he fell in love with this woman his freshman year of college. But he refused to date her because he didn't want to lose her as a friend. And she is a twin. And so my son also was a physics geek at college, and his best friend was dating Sarah, the sister of the twin that my son dates right now. So finally, his senior year in college, I just said, so Trevor, how's the love life? What's going on? Big pregnant pause. He goes, let's just say I'm taken after Grandpa George. So at that point, I knew he had asked Aaron out, and they were seeing each other, and they still are to this day. So the twins, when Katie had her twin girls, I was just so blessed, and I know Aunt Jane loved the twins. They brought her such joy, such life. Luckily, my husband Ben and I were able to come spend Aunt Jane's last 2 days with Janie. I called her. I didn't get the message until Christmas Day that Aunt Jane was really going downhill, so we quickly got on a plane and came out and got to spend the last two beautiful days, and Reverend Reedy got the message that he needed to come see Aunt Jane, so thank you for that. Again, the groovy aunt, I just love the colors, I love the artwork, I loved growing up in this family where we had to go up, when our moms would get together, they had the same voice, so we would have to go into the kitchen and literally look and see who we were talking to before we could tell, except I could tell by the clothes. Anybody else want to say anything? Damn.
One last thing. You know, with Jean or Jane, but especially I think with Jane, you knew exactly where you stood. And Pastor, she didn't have a quiet bone in her body, unlike what the hymn said. I mean, you know, she was outspoken, and you knew where you stood, and we loved her for that.
Is someone else? All right. Well, thank you for sharing those remembrances. I just feel like I know Jane even better now. Yeah. Or is it Jean? Yeah. No, it's Jane. No. Yes. Wait, where are we?
The answer.
Beautiful stories. Thank you. And I hope that you'll continue to recall and retell stories. You know, sometimes as people grow older, they keep retelling stories, like the same story. As people grow older, they just seem to keep telling the same story, the same story, the same story. And you know, of course, oftentimes they don't know that. But the telling of a story, the power of the telling of the story is in the listening. And when we invite people, when we are able to do that, to have them retell a story, it's a great gift to give them. Because again, in telling the story and having it heard is a powerful connecting point. And I've heard lots of beautiful stories here. And some overlap and some are just unique. And I hope that this family continues to do that and celebrate Jane's life in that way. Please join with me in prayer. Dear God, thank you that you've invited us to consider life in all its fullness, all of its triumphs, but also the things that are sad, the things that grieve us. We pray that you would uphold this family in your joy and resurrection power, that they might know of your resurrection way of living, like Jane lived. We thank you that you've invited us also to bear the burdens of others. We thank you for your love for this world, for placing us in it and giving us a season between that birth date and that passing date where we can live the abundant life you have invited us to live. And thank you that you've called us to do that with others. So hear us now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his own disciples when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The word of God from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the gospel from John chapter 14. Jesus is just a short distance away from dying, being betrayed, denied, and dying on the cross, buried, and rising again. This is what he told his disciples as they began contemplating his physical death. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there on purpose to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how could we possibly know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Amen. Aaron, you have a gift of music to bring. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. For those who don't know, I am Aaron. I am Jane's grandson. I didn't get to say anything during the remembrances, but I figured I had my own time block. So as Yoho had said, I want to tell more stories. So I had one. It was some random week, probably about 14 years ago or so. Mom and Dad had shipped us off to Grandma's, my brother and I, down to my grandma's for a week. And at the time, I didn't, you know, expect anything of the week, and but something happened that week, and I just wanted to share it. One thing to know about Grandma is she was stubbornly independent. So even then, she was, you know, past her 70s, or like early into her 70s or so, and she, during the week, she wanted to mow the grass. So we had a riding lawnmower, and she wanted to mow the grass. Me and my brother, we decided to play some basketball that day, and we're playing basketball. And back then, her driveway was stones; it wasn't paved like it is today. And we were playing basketball at one end, and Grandma was riding around through the other end. She was mowing the front of the yard, and then she pulled onto the driveway, and stones just started pelting Danny and I as we were all the way down the driveway. You know. And that memory has stuck with me, so I just wanted to share it. So, my grandma was a huge part of me becoming a musician. She'd seen me growing up, seemingly get taller every year and every time she saw me. But she also got to see me grow as a musician. So I wanted to share one of the songs I got to play for her about 2 months ago. I had taken her to a church event here, a Christmas bazaar, and then later that night I got to play her some tunes. So there's no exact significance why I chose this song, but it was just a nice memory I wanted to share. So.
Line. I'm quiet, you know. You make a first impression, and I found I'm scared, and now I'm always on your mind. Even the best fall down sometimes. Even the stars refuse to shine. I'll back you fall in time. And somehow find you and I collide. And somehow find you and I collide.
Thank you, Aaron. Let's listen to the scripture from Isaiah 64, verse 8, and then Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. For it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. Jane derived a great deal of joy in her artistic side. She loved things that she could participate in creating. She was a maker, a creator, a visionary. Someone here said she was able to see things. She was able to bring out the beauty of things. And no doubt probably exasperated others around her from time to time because she saw things that no one else could possibly see. But yet she saw them. She, in many respects, reflected that creative spirit that the Apostle Paul is talking about, saying that we are God's handiwork, God's workmanship, that we have been created to do good works in Christ Jesus as well. That part of what it means to be fully human is to be producers. Of course, our life today is filled with consumerism, and I'm not against that. I'd like to consume things. I think consuming things is just amazing, because in order to consume something, someone else had to produce it. So if no one consumed, like a story never heard, was the story shared? And so to make something has its own joy, and the artist is the only one at the beginning who can appreciate that joy. But once shared, once seen, once revealed, other people can share in its beauty and be inspired in their own way to carry that craft forward in their own unmistakable way. When is the last time you put your signature on something? I remember just yesterday signing a payment form for CVS. And I got to use my app, you know, and you three scripts are ready, and you put your credit card thing in there, and then you have the sign on the screen. Of course, it doesn't look like my signature, but that's my signature, just scrawled across my little iPhone screen. Boom, there it goes. And then we were able to run by drive-through and not have any delay at all. They had my signature, and I was good to go. How about you? What kinds of things have borne your signature? Contract? A letter? When is the last time you even wrote a letter? Has your signature, though perhaps like Jane, been placed on a piece of artwork? Like the great Stradivarius violin. You know, the main way you know the Stradivarius to a musician is you hear it. But for those of us who can't hear so well, all we need to do is look inside it. Oh yeah, there's this name, Stradivarius. That must be a Stradivarius. Because our signature means that we have put our full investment in it. Each day of our life is a day for us to put our signature on another 24-hour period. Now, how many people here would call yourselves artists? Sort of like Jane, but, you know, an artist. You like to draw. You like to write. You write music. You sing. Or maybe you just made an art out of consumerism. I teach an online course on tech life, the meaning of life, and technical life. And it's really a social consciousness kind of a class where students are made to be aware of how much they consume versus how much they produce. And most students, these are all college-age students, most of them just think by reducing consumerism, they've answered the course's objectives. Like, did you know you actually did spend 25 hours this week watching Netflix? Oh, I knew it was a lot. I had no idea it was 25. I'm sure that was an unusual week. Well, the course is 8 weeks long. And so after every week, you count the hours and how much time you spend doing anything like that, watching TV, watching Netflix, whatever it is, consuming media of some kind. And so solving, then addressing that problem, they think, well, I'll just reduce my consumerism. Oh, look, I've reduced my consumption of Netflix from, say, 25 hours at the beginning of the term down to 12. And that's a wonderful gift. But then I ask, well, what did you produce? Well, what did you do in place of that time? Nothing? Some of them, yes, nothing. Others, they just didn't think. You have to come up with some categories in your life, because Jane found a way of expressing her productive, I'm a worker, I'm a creative person created in God's image to produce things. She found a niche for that. Many of these creations are in your homes. Many of these creations are in your picture collection. But what do you produce? You know, for us to most emulate all the best of Jane's life, it would just probably take another lifetime to figure out. And guess what? That's what God has given you. A lifetime to be creative, to show God's handiwork, to produce whatever it is in the range, the continuum, the spectrum of all sorts of ways. You are a producer. Pay attention to what you put your signature on and celebrate it. Jane figured out how. For it is by grace that you have been saved. We are the clay, and God is the potter. And he finds a way of taking every broken piece in our life, every scrap, every unused canvas, every unfinished stanza, and to keep them sacred for us, that he might continue to work within us to create our own kind of masterpiece. Because our story is continually told as we give listen. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing just how great our Creator is. Great is thy faithfulness. It's hymn number 276. Let's celebrate the potter's joy. Great is thy faithfulness. Number 276. And those who are able, please stand. Please join with me in prayer. In a moment of reflection, let's just offer a word that comes to mind, just a single word that comes to mind as you celebrate Jane's life today. Just call it out from where you sit. Go on. Creative, feisty. Yes, more?
Generosity.
Energy. Say again.
Always happy.
Big-hearted.
Joyful.
Visionary.
Long-suffering.
Surprising.
Creative.
Faithful.
A
twin sister. Lord, hear these words, this chorus of gratitude. We thank you for Jane's life. And for all the things that we celebrate, we ask that you would make the best of them part of our life too, as we continue to tell her story, and even more, tell your story as our Creator who has invited us to do good works, to make a difference in our world, which you prepared in advance for us to do, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for every gift, every love, every expression of hope that draws us forward into your emerging future, where Jane is comfortably in your presence. And now from this place, be assured of God's presence in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, now and forever in his care. Amen.